From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 5th, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings awareness to the news that shapes the geospatial industry sector, the trends of location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Why do federal geospatial efforts fail? Are they poorly organized? Do they lack the necessary vision and leadership, or is it simply that they are really not that useful at all? We'll look at what and wherefore, but first, a word from our sponsor.
The Directions Media 2011 Location Intelligence Conference is headed back to Washington, D.C., and this time we're focused on government applications. We will be co-located with TechWeb's GTEC event, the Government Technology Expo and Conference, June 1st to the 3rd at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center. LI at GTEC will present topics on geospatial cloud computing, cybersecurity, and mobile location applications. For more information about the conference, go to www.locationintelligence.net and join us this June in D.C.
Last week, Adina reported on the pending closure of several federal data websites, including data.gov, USspending.gov, and a few others. Much of this was the work of President Obama's initiative to open the data archives of the U.S. government, expose the treasure trove of information locked in the government archives, but also to be responsive to the initiatives that included government spending of the stimulus dollars. And what's happening now is that some of this funding is being cut, wrapped up in the current budget negotiations. Federal News Radio reports that the White House requested $35 million for the e-government fund in 2011. The House only allocated $2 million in its bill H.R. 1, and the Senate, meanwhile, provided $20 million for the government for the e-government fund. What we want to take a look at is some of the geospatial websites that are out there, and there are many of them. Some of them came about because of an initiative, like geoportal.gov was ramped up because of the oil spill in the Gulf, or at least that's what made it popular. That movement had been building before that, but what really brought it to the forefront was the fact that it was such a great resource for the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico last April. But there are initiatives still out there. Geospatial One Stop is out there, and within data.gov there are many resources for geospatial data. And if these websites go dark, in particular all of that has been gone into data.gov, what happens? Why? What happens if it goes away? And where's the champion, perhaps, that is needed to bring it forward? Much of those questions perhaps can't be answered because we don't know the outcome of the budget negotiations. But the first thing I have to wonder is, why are there so many of these geospatial data portals, and have they been useful? Looking all the way back to the Geospatial One-Stop Initiative, both Adina and I have commented on the fact that although an interesting resource and a good resource, it perhaps never has gotten used to the extent that it might have, and we have to ask ourselves why. But now with all of these other portals that are out there that we've got, I think it's rather confusing from the outside for someone to say, I need a resource that gives me a map of or a data set for this, and I wouldn't know where to start. So we've got a couple of questions here. Is it the failure of the organization to try to bring these things to better understanding, to make people aware of what these resources are, or is it simply that there's not a champion? And frankly, if the funding goes away for some of these initiatives, maybe no one will notice. So, Adina, I guess I'll put it to you. Where is the failure in some of these efforts?
Well, there's clearly a lot of little things that aren't going right. And I think one of them is just the, as you pointed out, we've got a whole list of different efforts and different websites that provide data. Some provide visualization. Some provide a little bit of analysis. And if we, who spend our days thinking about geospatial and writing about it and researching it, don't know where to start, it's hard to imagine a college student or a high school student or a citizen knowing where to start. So just this idea that all of these things have sort of sprung up seemingly independently and then have fought to continue to stay alive and have all been sort of separate is huge. And while geoplatform.gov is still a murky idea for many, if it in fact became that central place for the data and the services and the apps, and I think that's one way to describe what it might be when it grows up, that might be a step forward. But it's really hard for people to advocate for that when, as you point out, there have been so many disappointments.
And one site seems to cater to metadata, another site seems to cater to map data, and I get confused as to which one I would go to if I was researching, looking for data that the government had, and trying to populate a project with geospatial information.
Well, and that's a perfect example, and data.gov fell into that hole because the goal for data.gov was, let's get a whole bunch of data sets, right? Mm-hmm. And let's get them out there, and let's get them out there fast, and we'll show that we've made progress. And that resulted in some really bizarre things, and I'm going to quote Virginia Carlson, who's the president of the Metro Chicago Information Center, and one of the things she pointed out was that a mandate came from above that each agency or program was responsible for putting X numbers of data sets on data.gov with no distinction made as source or usefulness. Thus, you have weird things like cutting up geo files into many subfiles so that the total number of files on data.gov is higher. Okay, so that's just not the way to do it. On the other hand, for the first year of a data program, which, remember, is not specifically focused on geospatial, it's broader. The data.gov is much broader than that.
And a lot of the data there is geospatial, by the way.
Yes, and yes, as we doesn't surprise us for a moment. But clearly, the goal was, let's hit the numbers. And one of the things that I was recently in a discussion, I think this was at the Federal User Conference, and one of the big efforts was, okay, data.gov, geoplatform.gov, how do we do metadata, and how do we search metadata? And that was one of the big questions. Why? Because that hadn't really been thought of as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think one of the issues that comes to mind for me is, and I'm going to read from an article here that we're putting on the show notes, as data.gov goes dark, 50 startups prepare to take its place. I thought it was a very interesting article. The article says, yet all is not lost. There are over 50 startups in the data 2.0 conference, which specifically aimed to make data accessible and useful with or without data.gov. Nick Dukoff, CEO of InfoChips, writes, and I quote, "It would be very helpful if the government would devote its limited resources on simply pointing us to the public data sets wherever they live in the wild. Socrata, InfoChips, and others can do the rest in the heavy lifting, such as appending metadata, making the data findable." USCIO Anesh Chopra and Todd Park, the CTO of Health and Human Services, and others have been great cheerleaders for open data, and I hope this doesn't take the wind out of their sails, unquote. I think the very key issue here that this that particular quote points out is that the government has done a great job of amassing data. They just don't know how to organize it. And I think that's what InfoChip CEO was trying to get to, is that we can do in the public and the private sector can do a much better job because there's a profit motive involved in getting it right. And I don't think that's been there at the federal level.
Right. And I think that's one way to sort of maybe draw a line and say, okay, the federal government is going to be responsible for making the data available with some notion of standard metadata, and then we're really going to turn it loose to the private sector to turn that into valuable, useful application. And we've spent a lot of time and money on trying to build applications, right? Things like the National Map, which we don't use so much, and the National Atlas, which is wonderful, but we don't use it so much. Let's not do that. Mm. Let's get the data, and if you want, you can put the data out as services. If that's too expensive, just put out the data, have other people host the services, and let that drive jobs. One of the issues here is if you turn these sites off, we're actually going to be losing jobs. And Beth Novick, who was the former U.S. Deputy CTO, makes the point that there are 14 other countries who have followed the U.S.'s lead in opening up their data. And she says, beyond the democratic benefits of facilitating public scrutiny and improving lives, open data of the kind enabled by USA Spending and data.gov save money, create jobs, and promote effective and efficient government. So it's good for the economy. And in fact, I would argue it's even better for the economy if the federal government pulls back on funding a lot of these apps. And frankly, that's a lot of money that's going to organizations like Fortius One and ESRI, and I don't have any issues with them getting paid for what they do, but maybe let's not have the government pay them. Let's have that flip over to the other side.
Right. Right. Well, one of the stats that came out in one of the articles that we've posted, the show notes, I can't remember which one it was, stated that in all the information that's collected on weather, the toll was something to the tune of $1 billion. It went into creating something like weather.com, which was recently sold for $3.5 billion. So the investment in data had a multiplicative effect, as we so know from just basic economics, what happens to a government. $1 of spent by the government is something like a 5-time multiplier in the private sector. If you just took, for example, Landsat data that was begun way back in the 70s, the government had the resources to put up satellites. The government had the resource to archive that information, but they didn't have the resources to market it. And that was one of the other things that came out in a blog by Dean Allemang, one of the show notes, S's for semantics. And he says, why am I to blame for the closure of data.gov and the rest of the family? It's because I haven't blogged about these things. I haven't done the marketing to let people know how amazing it is that our government has the guts to respect the principles of freedom it is supposed to defend, that it will show its dirty laundry to the world. Well, that's one example. But the point is that what has happened is somebody else is marketing the information. And it's not the government's job to market the information to let everybody know that it's there. I think it's just done a poor job of organizing what's there and letting people get at it.
So instead of having 50 startups building against it, we should be having 5,000? Because if it were better organized and more accessible or differently accessible?
Well, it's a good point. Maybe just the fact that it's out there is good enough for some of these startups to go in and tease out what's useful. I just thought that it was, I think some of the efforts have either been poorly conceived and in the end maybe just poorly organized.
Well, and maybe let's push the private sector a little further. Maybe instead of doing it itself, which it does on some situations but not others, maybe it's a better return to having a private company go out there and organize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's maybe what the business model should be for the government. Try to encourage young startups, other companies, to take its data and make it more fruitful.
And seed the economy that way. And
right.
And make it clear that just because you're using government data doesn't mean you can't charge for the services, which lots and lots of companies know. I mean, we know that now you can go buy on DVD all kinds of freely available data, and people make money doing that.
Right.
If there is a market, there's no reason that can't be turned into a new business model. Let's get back to one of the questions that you sort of put out, and that's, if data.gov goes dark, will anybody notice?
Right.
What do you think?
I don't think they will. I get the feeling that it was a really good effort to start. And if anybody takes a minute just to peruse data.gov, they'll find that there's a lot of geospatial information there. And the searching is okay if you knew what you were looking for. But again, I have to fall back to the organization of the information that's there. I don't think people will notice. I would like to think that they would, but I get the strong feeling like, well, another good effort, but too bad.
Well, and I think a lot of these efforts, while ideally aimed at serving the citizens of the United States and the citizens of the world for that matter, really the customers for that data were the organizations that sort of served as middlemen between the data and the people. Because let's face it, regular people aren't going to go download a data set of the counties in their state and their measured health, characteristics, and try to make a map of it. I mean, yes, there are tools to do that, but that isn't something that we do. We want somebody else to do that for us. And we want to visit their site and look at the pretty maps and see where our county sits. And the people who do that work, in many cases, are the Fortius Ones and the ESRIs and journalists and politicians and people working for politicians to try to make their case. And you can extend that out to foundations and others who are trying to make the world a better place. They need that data to make their case to get the funds they need to fund efforts to increase healthcare in that county that's the lowest one in the state, for example. Those are the people who are going to miss such services, and that's going to trickle down to the citizenry.
Yeah, and it's a fair point. There seem to be a lot of minutia out on data.gov, just almost randomly organized, and that was my issue. But to your point, if I took the other side, that data has to reside somewhere, and it is valuable to someone. And to provide the ability to access that information is the key. So whether it's up to the individual to go search for it, okay, go do it. Learn how to search and go get the information, because it's there. It will be missed. My feeling is that hopefully it will be missed. I don't know if it. I think it will not be missed. But my hope is that enough people raise a stink about it that they'll keep it going, and the data will ultimately still be available. Because I would hate to see even as poorly organized as I think it is, it's still valuable and it should be there.
Right. And to be fair, we're a year plus into this effort. We know some of the data isn't perfect, and people have evaluated it and complained, and that's really good and healthy, and that's how the data gets better. If the data was not public, people would not be complaining, and it wouldn't be getting any better. And the other thing that I think is going to help keep efforts like this alive are that sense of expectation, especially from the younger age groups, because even more than those of us with gray hair, they are the ones that I believe have this sense that the data should be there and they should have access to it.
Right.
And what are they going to do? They're going to go, hopefully, to the librarian at the public library or at school or wherever they may be and say, I need the data to do this analysis. And if the answer comes back, I'm sorry, but our federal government does not allow you to access that data, hopefully they're going to get on the phone and say, hey, this isn't the country that I want to live in.
All right.
They have that expectation. And I hope they're some of the folks who are going to get active and start signing those petitions and calling their congressman about this.
Well, and there are those activities there. So we'll be watching to see how successful they are in keeping data.gov and the other federal websites. The budget discussions are ongoing. And as I said, we'll watch and see what those developments are. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As we mentioned, our sponsor, which is ourselves, Directions Media, will be launching Location Intelligence at the GTEC event, a conference sponsored by UBM TechWeb, this June 1st to the 3rd in Washington, D.C. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comments section on Directions Magazine. Thanks again for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.